Barbara Sykes, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You are not a newcomer to this process and in holding office, but currently you're running for the Akron Public Schools Board, and that's going to require a lot of time and attention. Again, I'm sure you know that. You know, these are going to be tough issues that you and your colleagues would have to work through. So before we dive in, just talk to us a little bit about why you're running, and, you know, as you talk about your motivations to run for the board, just introduce yourself and share your background for anyone not already familiar.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I am Barbara Sykes, and I am very pleased to have the opportunity to speak with you today, and I thank you for inviting me. I am running because I have two daughters that graduated from the Akron Public School System. They had wonderful, positive experiences. One is Amelia, who is now our U.S. Congresswoman, and she doesn't even have the hardest job. My firstborn is Stancy, and Stancy has been a teacher for almost one decade within the Akron school system, a whole decade, and now she's currently working in administration. And I have had a background that consists of administration and policy. And I think a diverse background for school board members is essential. So having serving as a Akron City Councilwoman, actually being the first African-American to serve on Akron City Council in Ward 3 and at large, helps me to understand the significance of having a strong relationship with the city of Akron and with other partners throughout the city of Akron. Serving as the deputy auditor in Summit County for over 12 years gives me the ability to talk levies, millage, property values. Moving on to become a state representative, I understand the state constitutional responsibility to our local schools. And I am prepared to help enforce and to remind them of that constitutional responsibility that they have to our local schools to adequately and ensure that each child is adequately educated. I have served as president and CEO of Ohio United Way, state director of AARP, and currently I am the president and CEO of the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus Foundation. Those nonprofit organizations give me an appreciation, and I understand the responsibility, and I appreciate so much the value that nonprofits bring into the school system through the wraparound services. Again, I am running because I think every child should have the same opportunity that my daughters had, and the same successful, positive experiences that they are living today.
Great. And you're running at a time when the board has a number of important issues to be looking at, not just now, but going into next year, the next 2 to 4 years. From your perspective, what are those big picture items that the board's going to be looking at, particularly over the next 12 to 18 months?
The first one has to be closing the educational gap. Now, we are tested, we are judged, we are evaluated. When I say we, I mean our children, our system, on a 5-star system now. And Akron is overall graded at a 2.5 system. So that is failing. The primary responsibility for our school is to educate our children, to make sure that they are not failing. So that is one of the primary areas that we will have to continue to work on. And in order to make sure that our children are not failing, we have to look at them from a holistic standpoint. And that standpoint brings in what's happening with our children as far as their ability to learn and what's preventing that. And poverty is one of those areas. We continue to accelerate the number of children that find themselves in poverty, which is not unusual for urban and rural areas. But that's where we are, and we have to deal with that short term, long term. The last area I think of that goes along with our children and what's happening with them and how they live and the homelessness that they are finding themselves in, the idea that they do not have adequate housing and that they are constantly struggling just to survive. The third part of that would be participation. Parents' participation, community participation, business participation. We all have to do what we can to ensure that that child is prepared to learn. So we want the parents to be actively involved in their lives so that when they come home, that they are being reinforced to do the things that they've been asked to do at school, their homework, to study, to go to school. Absenteeism is a major problem in our school system and our children not learning. If you're not sitting in that seat, if you're not in the classroom, you can't learn. So those areas I believe are significant to trying to ensure that we have successful children. These are areas that we have to constantly work on. And as a school board member, that means as policymakers, that we should look at long-term and short-term goals and objectives. So if we're going to talk about what should we do with our schools and how should we proceed with that, then we should look to see what the policy says. So if we're talking about whether or not a school should be closed or open or built, then what does the policy says? And that means, what's the criteria? Are we going to close the school because of its age, because of low enrollment or other reasons? Then we should already know that, because that's what planning is all about, and that's what being, I think, an effective policymaker is. And so long-term and short-term planning is another area that the school board member, I think, has responsibility with, and working in conjunction with our superintendent and the treasurer. Treasurer is important. Making sure that our finances are in order, making sure that we are focusing, again, long-term, short-term, that we are forecasting to make sure that the funds are there to do what we need to do in order to teach our children, to do what we need to do in order to find individuals that we want in our schools to teach our children. Finances will determine whether or not we're able to hire individuals with their certifications that will want to be in our schools, that we will respect, that we will support, that we will encourage in teaching our children. So if we don't have the monies to attract, to compete with the other school system to get in the teachers that we want, then we are not meeting the responsibilities that we have and making sure that we have the resources available for our children.
So you touched on finances a couple mm-hmm. times. So just two quick items on that. I'm sure you're aware the board recently decided to push going back to the community for additional support until seemingly next fall. Mm-hmm. So November of 24. What are your thoughts? Could you expand upon your thoughts on the financial challenges that the district faces? And how should the board, as a policymaking entity, as community leaders, be helping garner the support that's required to pass a levy?
Well, I think, first of all, the board has to be up on what's actually happening. I noticed that the school talked about levies but did not talk about millage. And if you're not talking about millage, then you're not giving us information on how much it's going to cost each one of us to have a levy. So I was pleased to see this week sometime they came out with the millage that they think they would like to ask the community to support in passing the levy. But I think the school board members, again, have the responsibility in working in conjunction with the superintendent and the treasurer. And I hope that the treasurer has been spending time with our fiscal officer here in the county of Summer to get an idea about what's happening with what the people are talking about when they go out into the community on the road shows to hear what they're saying about it. Just kind of give you an idea about what the community is saying. And when I was in the auditor's office, which is now the fiscal officer, does that tell you how long ago I was in the auditor's office? Because auditor's office is now called the fiscal officer, as combining with the treasurer's office. You can get a really good understanding about what people are talking about and how they feel. So I see the school board members as being the eyes and ears of the community as it relates to the school board. School board members should be actively involved and engaged in the community. Now, I don't mean just simply showing up at a school to see a particular program. I mean participating, going to the various meetings. Akron has so many organizations and so many things going on all of the time, and school board members should be there to listen to what our communities are telling us, to listen to what our businesses are feeling about what's happening, to listen and to share our concerns, but mainly to bring back to the superintendent what the community is saying. So if we're going to talk about the levy, then this is what the communities are saying. And one of the things is we need to know what the millage is before we start deciding whether or not we're going to support a levy. That's just basic fundamental. We need to know that. So I'm happy to know that they're doing that now. It's an exciting opportunity to tell our story. There are so many wonderful programs, curriculums within the Akron school system that parents, community, and businesses are just not aware of. So we should be the eyes and ears of the community. We should spend time telling our story. It should be a two-way dialogue, not just us talking or not just the community talking. We should respect each other enough to hear each other's opinion and to come to a conclusion after we've gathered all of the information and can determine whether or not we should support a levy. And if so, and I've been on a number of been in a number of situations where levies have been offered on the ballot and passed. The community has been very, very, very kind with levies in our community. We have probably, I think now we're up to over 80 districts that the fiscal officer is sending out various funds to. And so we have been very kind. And I think that if we are able to explain what's happening with why we need a levy, explain where the money is going to go to, show that we're responsible in spending the money, show that we will report back to the community on a regular basis and how the money is being spent, that the community may not have a problem in supporting and passing a levy. But we have to do that. We have to be responsible enough to first say what we want, why we want it, why we need it, and what we plan on doing with it, and reporting back to the community on what's happening and what did happen to the funds if we receive them through a levy.
Communication, transparency, accountability.
Yeah, communication, transparency, accountability, exactly.
So levies aside, there's mm-hmm. other things that stand to impact the district's bottom line. The state recently expanded their voucher program.
Mm-hmm.
This can and in all likelihood will have impacts on student enrollment. So how can the APS school board help the district be more competitive in attracting and retaining students? You know, are there things that the board could be thinking about differently to help address those issues?
Yes, as I said, the first thing is we have to tell our story. We can't let someone else get ahead of us and say, oh, why do you need to go to Akron? Come to us. Because Akron really has a wonderful story to tell. The other thing is that we need to tell our story to the legislators. We need to be present. They need to hear from Akron. You know, we're one of the eight top districts within the state of Ohio. We have over 20,000 students. And with the vouchers program, there will be a few students that will leave. I don't think that number will be significant. What I'm finding primarily is that the students that's already in schools, in private schools, in charter schools, just simply applying to receive the monies. Because there's just not the capacity, quite frankly, to take on very many of Akron's students. You know, there's just not enough seats in the private school. And we will still have the primary responsibility of educating our children. And the thing is that for Akron public schools and all public schools, we can't say no to any student. So whatever child comes to our door, we have to accept them. And that is not the case for voucher schools and private schools. And so we will still be responsible for that. Now, the legislators, because of our representation in Summit County, with Representative Golaski, Representative Senator Sykes, Representative Weinstein, have constantly said to the legislators, it's not fair to take monies away from the public school system, since we have the constitutional responsibility of making sure that we are all adequately educating our children, be they private or public schools, but public is what we have the responsibility of making sure that we do, that those funds, even if you are providing vouchers, taken out of our public system should not hurt our public schools' children. So they have committed to what they're calling a fair school funding plan. And this plan says that we will look at the individual student to make sure that we are adequately funding the individual student in order that we are closing that educational gap. So this year, even though vouchers are going out and parents can apply for those in the private schools and other settings outside of the public school system, there was extra funds put there to try to not do harm to our public school system. And they have committed that by year 2025, that fair funding school plan will address the individual students and making sure that the individual students are getting the funds that they need to be adequately educated. Now, legislators are every 2 years. are elected every 2 years, so things are subject to change. But at least the conversation that has taken place over the years is starting to grow. Legislators on both sides of the aisle understanding the need to represent and to make sure that that individual child is succeeding, and the budget this General Assembly reflected that, and there's a commitment to continue to reflect that.
Earlier in the discussion, when you talked about the board operating and different kind of things it should be doing in the community, you mentioned business engagement. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to drill down a little bit on the College and Career Academies. But even before that, if you're elected, you're going to be one of seven mm-hmm. on a board. So from your perspective, from where you're sitting, if elected, what would be your primary role and where would you like to spend most of your time and attention?
Well, you know, I want to be curious enough to find out where I think the void is. You know, if I'm building a board, then I want to look around and see what do we need. So I think with my background that I can pretty much fill in wherever I need to. There's nothing too small or nothing too small or too large that I would not be willing to work on. So looking at where's the void, I actually think that the school board could do better with the finances. School board members could be more actively engaged in working with the treasurer, which is our responsibility. We only have the responsibility of hiring two individuals, the superintendent and the treasurer. I happen to think the treasurer is a pretty important person, and I would like to spend time on the finance part, what's happening there, and to work in that area. Also, just building relationships with the board members is very important. I mean, as you said, I am one of seven. Nothing can pass without the majority of the board members supporting it. And so I think my experience serving on Akron City Council as a state representative, president and CEO of a number of organizations, working with boards, having my boards and my organizations, I have an appreciation and understanding that I can't always get what I want, and it is very important that I am able to compromise and to work and to respect and to consider other opinions and to study the issues, to research the issues, to the degree that I can come to the table with my beliefs and my understanding of the issues, but I can also be open-minded enough to listen to the other board members' opinions. And compromise is the word. When you're dealing in a group, in group dynamics, it's compromise, because the most important thing is to try to do the best that we can to get the most out of the limited resources, although they may be great, but limited resources to try to help our children to learn and succeed.
Great. On the college and career academies, I mean, many years ago, the district went through an effort to, in a lot of ways, reinvent itself. So that's, you know, there's been a lot of discussion around that new model that we've adopted. How do you think it's been benefiting students? How do you view the partnerships with the business community? You know, is there good in there that you'd like to see continue long term? Just your general thoughts and outlook, your forward thinking plans.
Yeah. I, from what I know, it seems like a fantastic program. I think it is important that we start very early in preparing our children to think about where they want to go after school, because that's what school is all about, preparing you to deal with the future. And we want the future, and we want our schools to continue to teach them, to help them grow, to prepare. I think the partnership that the businesses have and the internships with the students on the high school level is great, fantastic. I think it's great for the students that the internships are paid internships. I think it would be great if the business at some point would also pay probably more, if that's at all possible, so that we could our children could benefit from that. Because as we talked about, our children, a good number of them live in some serious poverty. And so even though we see internships in students, I think that money really help them and their families. But the other thing is that it helps them to grow and to decide upon. If this, you know, I know they declare this is what I want to do, but we know how many times we could change our majors. It helps us to decide upon if this is what I really want to do, and it helps the businesses. I would hope, and I'm pretty sure that the businesses now are saying to the superintendent and to the individuals that handle the college and career section that these are the kinds of jobs that we would need in the future to fill. These are the kinds this is the kind of information that they need to have. These are the kind of things that they need to be able to do. And to have that child really in the office, in the workplace, and I would hope that the internships that they have are ones that they are learning, and I have no reason to believe that they are not, and that they can use to grow. So I think that is very... It is a very positive step in the Akron public school system with the college and career programs. But I like the idea that it's also start there in the middle school where you have nonprofits participating. And I, you know, when you think about I know when I was in middle school, I never thought about what's nonprofit? You basically think that you make no money as a nonprofit. Nonprofit, who wants to be a nonprofit? But this way, it gives you an opportunity to learn about all the fabulous things, all the opportunities that's in nonprofit, and that you can actually help an individual. You can see, and I think for so many of our children, it would help them to see how they can give back to their community as well as making a career out of it. I made the decision that I wanted to major in social work. And I just saw it on a program. I said it was a program, and it was this woman helping a family, and they said she was a social worker. And I thought, I think I want to be a social worker. So I have an undergraduate degree in social work from the University of Akron because of that. But to have it taught in school, to have someone bring this to your attention, to actually see, to interact with the social worker, to interact with, and to know we still have finances in social work, we still have planners in social work, you still have all of the titles that businesses have, but the focus is more on seeing how we are going to not compete with the business, but help complement the businesses in taking care of our community. And so I think that is a fabulous thing that we're starting early. Mm. And then it also helps as a child decides upon going to college. So when they walk on a college campus, they're familiar with some terms. They understand there are programs there. They understand that curriculum, and they understand internships, because we have plenty of internships on the college level too. So I think it is a wonderful program. Again, it's a good news, good story for the Akron Public Schools to tell. And when people ask, why should I come to Akron? Why should I come to Akron? You know, if my child can't play in sports, why should I come to Akron? And we have a story to tell that goes beyond sports. The arts is a wonderful, wonderful area. Like my daughter, Amelia, was graduated from Miller South, from Firestone. She's a beautiful dancer, became a statewide gymnast, and now our U.S. Congresswoman. That's why arts.
That's great. As this work continues to develop and evolves over time, you know, to bring more experiential learning and a lot of those real world skills into the classroom. From a policy perspective, how does the board help ensure an equitable experience for all the students? You mentioned getting to them early, that's surely a piece of it, but what other aspects of your work as a policymaker for the district might help there?
Well, I think that we have to look at how education has evolved. You know, so now we're at the point where with education, we first started out looking and thinking, mainly we want our children to learn how to read, write, and arithmetic. And we went through that. And then we realized they need a bit more than reading, writing, arithmetic. They need to expand. And that's where we get the arts. And that's where we get all the other types of programs that we've been talking about. So we found a need for a child to graduate at 12th grade. So we added four more grades from the 8th grade to 12th grade. When I started school, there was no kindergarten. So I just went straight to first grade. But we have kindergarten because we realized they really need to know a bit more. Need to know how to read a little bit, a few words, colors, numbers, at least up to 10, before they actually come to first grade. And now we're at the point where we see that even before kindergarten, pre-kindergarten, early childhood education, we need to concentrate on that, because that's the world we're living in now. Society it is necessary that our children learn as much as they can before they are 5 or 6 coming into K through 12. And we also know that if they come in to kindergarten, then most often they are already behind. And it's so difficult to catch up. And so what we have to do as a school system is the long-term planning, and to see how can we continue to prepare our children to be successful and to take over this world. And when I say take over this world, I don't mean violently. I mean take over this world from an educational standpoint and taking care of us as we grow. We want them to be able to grow with the technology, to grow with the information, to grow with what's happening, and to participate and to actively be able to succeed in this society. And early child education is just a long-term policy that we should have and get to that place so that our children, it's just very difficult to catch up. And I think reports, statistics shows us that if our child is not where they should be when they entered kindergarten, it's very, very difficult for them to catch up.
I appreciate that answer. I mean, that's a That's a conversation happening, as you know, statewide, nationally, just about and just about anywhere there's schools. So we're about at time, but before we wrap up, any closing remarks, final thoughts?
Well, just to say thank you again for giving me the opportunity to speak with you. Early voting has started, so I would encourage everyone to get out and vote. Vote early. I've been at the polls, and it is good. People are coming in. They are coming in earlier. And so I think that is great. I think Akron this is a wonderful community. It's been wonderful to my family, and it is a great community to raise children. And I just hope that we can continue to do the kinds of things that we need to do to make sure that Akron is successful, and it starts with our children. Thank you very much.